Hey guys, I'm super excited about our message series, Preparing for a Miracle. Today's message is all about great expectations. If you are in a waiting pattern, you're waiting on God to do something big, you do not want to miss this sermon. We're starting a brand new series today called Preparing for a Miracle. As we enter into this Christmas season, we're just believing God for miracles in your life. And so I don't know, maybe you are anticipating something. You're like, you're just believing God for something in your life. I believe this will be a December to remember for you. And so I'm excited as we talk about this today, as we start the series. And I'm excited about this message in particular because we're going to talk about a guy that kind of gets missed in the Bible, that you forget it's even in the Christmas story. There's this tucked away story within the story where Mary and Joseph, they after Jesus is born and the shepherds and the wise men and all that. Well, actually, it's not after the wise men, it's before the wise men, sorry. But after the shepherds have come, Jesus is born, they go to the temple to dedicate Jesus as well as give a purification offering for Mary. That's what they do, and that's kind of the way that it happened in the Old Testament. There's a guy there waiting for him, and the guy's name is Simeon. Simeon's an older man, and there's this tucked away story about how God had promised Simeon, before you die, you're going to see the Messiah. And so we're going to talk about that story today, and I don't know what you're waiting on in your life, but today's message is called Great Expectation. Because I believe that with great expectation, God delivers miracles. And so we forget that part of the process of believing God for miracles is to continue to have faith. Faith means really what? It means spiritual expectation, that we believe God will come through for us. And so I'm excited about today's message. If you got your Bible or your Bible app, you can turn to Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 25. Let's hear about Simeon. It says, at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. I love this. It says here, first of all, that Simeon was devout and was eagerly, he was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah. We forget that part of our expectation in God to show up is that God has an expectation in us to show up. That we are expected to be faithful to the Lord. So if you're taking notes, the first thing I want to encourage you is this. Is when God gives you a promise, walk with him while you wait. Don't do the whole like, well, whenever God comes through, then I'll get faithful to him. God's like, no, that's not how this works. If you're faithful to the Lord, then he'll come through for you. So that's how that works. I just want to encourage you to learn to worship while you wait, to learn to walk with God while you wait, to stay faithful. The Bible talks a lot about walking with God, our walk with the Lord. And so that kind of language is used all the time, which means it's expected for us to be in God's house, walking with him, honoring him, putting him first, bringing our tithe, serving the Lord, being a witness, being prayerful, all those things that the Bible talks about. And so he wants us to be faithful to him. And then when you're faithful to him, God will be faithful to us. Now, it's interesting here too. The word, it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. That means in the original language, it means suggesting an ongoing intimacy, not a one-time experience. This is someone who was at God's house regularly, on the regular. If the doors were open, he was there. He was faithful to God. And then the word here, it says that that God revealed to him that he would not die until he sees Messiah. The word revealed there in the original Hebrew language is the word chrematizo. Say chrematizo. Chrematizo means a divine oracle. Now that's not a word we use very often, the word oracle, but a divine oracle means it's a word from God. It's an authoritative word that you can hang your hat on. It's an authoritative word that you can build your life around. And so this word chrematizo is used in other places in the Bible. And so here's a few other places. Noah was given a chrematizo word from God and said, build a boat, right? Moses was used, the same word was used about Moses, that he received a heavenly blueprint for the tabernacle. God had told him, I want you to build my temple, right? And it was a chrematizo word. It's like, this is what I want you to be about. Joseph was also given the same word, an oracle from God to flee Herod with baby Jesus. Also the wise men, months early before Jesus even born, were given an oracle, a word, an authoritative word for God. It said, pack your things, bring gifts. You're going to go on a long journey and you're going to get to meet the Messiah, right? So this was an oracle word from God. So I was looking this up, and this is really cool that the word that scholars use to describe what Simeon was doing was it said that God assigned Simeon. He was stationed in the temple. Now, this is the difference between just, oh, I go to the temple. No, I'm stationed in the temple. And I love that this is a godly older man. It does not say he was a young man. He was an older man. In a world that worships youth, where are the faithful men of God who have been around a season or two that are faithful to God and saying, I am stationed here. I am assigned here. You see, God's looking for men who are like, this is my house. This is my church. This is God's house. And I'm supposed to be a part of this. And you can count on me, Pastor. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. And so faithful men, when the offering is taken, they don't just shrug it off. They go, no, I'm faithful. I'm going to do my part. I don't care if it's 20 bucks. I'm doing something because I'm faithful. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give. I'm going to show up. And so where are the godly men in God's house? If you're one of those men that are stationed here, would you stand to your feet and say, I'm here? Come on, man, let's get up. I'm not going anywhere. You can count on me, Pastor. I'm going to be a Simeon. I'm staying in the house of God. You can build this place on me. God's looking for some faithful men. That's what he wants from us. And when you're a faithful man, you're the guy who stands in the gap. Think about this. Simeon was told by God before the old New Testament even happened. He was an Old Testament figure that crossed into the New Testament. Think about that. Before Jesus got here, God was already speaking to him, because we oftentimes say what? Oh, there were no prophets. There weren't any prophets, but God, that mean God wasn't speaking. He was speaking to a man named Simeon, and he heard from God, and he's like, I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to get to be that stand in the gap guy from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And he was faithful. You could count on him. He was there. He wasn't going anywhere. And so that's what God calls us to be, men who are stationed in the temple. Then he goes on to say this, Luke chapter 2, verse 27. Whew, I'm winded. It's like I'm an old man or something. Okay. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. I love this. The Spirit led him on the particular day. He said, so he was already around the temple all the time. He was in the temple, but there were places in the temple that you didn't always go. One of them was the altar. He didn't always go there. But this particular day, God said, go to the temple, go to the altar. This is the day. This is your moment. This is your time, right? He says, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. Can I tell you something about big expectations? This is important. Expectations makes you sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting. Expectations make you sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting. If you walk in here on a Sunday with expectation, then your heart is prepared to hear from God. Can I tell you another thing too that I've learned is that people who don't miss the Messiah are people that are around a lot. If you want God to move, you gotta be around a lot. Not occasionally, not every once in a while, but all the time. And so that's what Simeon was at that temple, but then the Lord said to him, hey, today is the day. And you have to understand, it was a normal thing for young Jewish couples to bring their firstborn child to be dedicated. That was just another day. That was a normal day. But not this day, because this day Mary and Joseph showed up with Jesus and God prompted Simeon. So, you know, could it be that you're missing out on some moments with Jesus because you're ignoring the promptings of God? So we have to have a sensitive spirit about us to not miss those promptings. And by the way, the oracle areas of your life, those areas that God has assigned you in particular, you're gonna have a greater sensitivity. Maybe for example, you've been through some things and so you have the ability to really minister to someone who's hurting. You have a sensitivity to that. I bet when people walk in the atrium, you notice those who are hurting more than other people. Why? Because you have a sensitivity to it. God's given you a word that you're supposed to make a difference in people who are hurting. Maybe for you, you have a sensitivity about students because God put on your heart to be a difference maker in our student ministry. So you recognize when a 15-year-old kid walks to the door and you're like, they're not with anyone and they look like they don't know where they're going. And I just have a sensitivity to want to help them understand that God loves them. There's a sensitivity in that particular area of your life. Does that make sense? Am I speaking to someone today that there's going to be a higher sensitivity in certain areas of your life? You're going to recognize things. And so when the Spirit prompts you, this is really important, get involved. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 29, he took the child in his arms. Now, the word took, by the way, don't just think that he just, you know, indiscriminately walked up and was like, hi, what's your name? Mary, Joseph, nice to meet you. Just grabbed the baby. No. Another translation says he received the baby. So he was offered the child in his hands. He didn't just indiscriminately grab a baby. Please don't do that. Don't recommend that, right? He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Wow. So he is speaking some prophetic words. Let me just mention this again. Simeon's a regular guy. Never said he was a prophet. Doesn't say he was a son of a prophet. Doesn't say he came from the lineage of this or that family. No, just a regular guy. God uses regular people. Amen. Isn't that good to know? God uses regular people. He does. And so this is really important. Number three, when the Holy Spirit prompts you, he is inviting you to participate in his plans. You know, there's just something about a prompting from the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've heard us talk about different mission things that we do, but this one in particular really prompted you. Maybe when we talked about students today, something in you was prompted. That's God saying, I want you to get involved in students, not just, oh, that's cool that we do that, but no, I want, you have a place there. You're to be stationed, assigned there. Maybe, you know, there's a whole group of people every Wednesday, you know, in our church that get together and they just help feed the homeless and clothe them and minister to them. Because when they heard about the Westside Ministry, something was prompted in their spirit. They said, I got to do more. I want to be a part of it. So when God prompts you, the prompting is always to participate, to do something. So I just want to encourage you to participate, to get involved in whatever the Lord prompts you to do. It's a difference maker. So when the Holy Spirit prompts you, get involved. Now notice he starts talking about Jesus. I love this. He says what? Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die. He says, I've seen your salvation, which is prepared for all people. He is a light to the real, revealed to God, to the nations. As he's talking, Mary and Joseph must have been going, you've got to be kidding me. Because this guy is the first guy I've heard saying the same things that I dreamed about. Joseph's like, this is what I heard in my dream. Mary's like, this is what the angel said in my dream. So they're like, someone's actually voicing what they had already had in a dream. Now, theologians call this the law of the third voice. The third voice is very important because what happens is maybe you have a prompting from the Holy Spirit in you. You're like, I think this may be God. Then you read the word, that's the second voice, and there's a scripture that really speaks to whatever it is that you already had on your heart. You're like, oh my gosh, it's so crazy. I had this on my heart, and I opened the Bible, and then here it is. And then someone walks up and says the same thing. The law of the third voice. What is that? We see the law of the third voice. Why? Because we have a Father, a Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Three voices matters. So when that third voice hits, they're like, oh my goodness, this is totally a God thing. I can't believe this because, you know, they had this already. And Mary, Joseph both had dreams, and then this third person shows up, right? And so this third voice, this is a game changer for them. And so never underestimate the power of the law of a third voice. Maybe this week you heard from God in your quiet time. You had something stirring in the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden you come to church today, and I'm saying something, and it's like, this is crazy. I can't believe he's bringing this up because this is exactly what I was thinking. That's the law of the third voice. You need to go with that. Does that make sense? Come on, someone get excited that God's speaking to you. Isn't that good? Love that. So it goes on to say this, Luke chapter 2, verse 33. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed him, and he said to Mary, this is important, because an oracle does not always mean positive news. Sometimes it can be something that you really don't want to hear, but it's still from God. Now this was positive, but I guarantee you Mary didn't see this positive at first. But listen to what he says to Mary. So, because God not only called him to, God fulfilled the promise in him, but then God said, Mary, I need to tell you about some things that you need to be prepared for. So God used Simeon to prepare Mary's heart for what was to come. Check it out. It says this, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your very soul. Ooh. I'm sure she was like, what does that mean? Now, Mary had no idea at this point that her son, she would one day watch her son die on a cross. Now, listen, I don't know where my moms are in the room, but mothers, you do carry a burden of always being concerned about your children, do you not? It's really true. And so this was going to be a greater weight. There was a greater glory on the other side of it, but there was clearly a greater weight as well. This is important. Your story, would you write this down, number four? Your story of God's fulfilling promises will inspire the next generation to wait on the Lord too. So this is what he's saying. He's saying, hey, I just saw God fulfill a promise by bringing Jesus and putting him in the fact that I held Jesus in my hands. So you have to understand something about Simeon. This is really important. You see, Moses got to see the promised land at a distance, not up close. Isaiah wrote about the promise of Jesus coming hundreds of years earlier, but we didn't get to see him. But Simeon got to hold the promise in his hands. I mean, can you imagine how amazing that must have been? I'm holding the promise of God. Wow, it's incredible, right? And so, but God called him to be a warning to Mary to prepare her heart as well. That's important. But I want to show something else. This is really cool. I just have to stop and say this. God wasn't finished in this message. So he didn't just tuck in Simeon into the Christmas story. He tucked in a woman named Anna. And so ladies, God has not forgotten you. Check this out. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 36, Anna, a prophet. Oh, hold up. Simeon wasn't called a prophet. Anna was called a prophet. Did you catch that? So ladies, there's some powerful prophetic women in this house right now who need to hear this word. So check this out. Anna, a prophet who was also there in the temple. She was very old. Her husband died when she had been married only 7 years. You have to understand, women got married much younger, so she was probably already a widow by the time she was 22 to 25 years old. Think about that. She's a very young widow. I'm sure she thought, oh, I'm sure I'll remarry, you know, after losing her husband. But she didn't. It says this. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. This woman was devout. It says, then she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. Isn't it great how God's divine timing, it's like the Holy Spirit goes, cue Anna, right? And she just somehow knew just to walk up. She's like, Simeon? I bet Simeon and Anna knew each other. They were both single, by the way. Who knows? There could have been like a Golden Bachelor moment going on here. I don't know. I'm just saying. I know you never know. Okay, let's check it out. And so it says this. It says, she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. So here's the bonus point for today. Great expectations often rise out of great pain. Did you catch that? Here's a woman who lost her husband, and she never remarried. This is not how she thought her life was going to go. But listen, one thing I know for sure is this. God raises up strong women to be difference makers in God's house and in this world. And she was one of these women. Where are my women at? I want my strong women to stand up right now and take your place. Come on, women, get up. Because we need some prophetic women who are faithful, who are honoring, who say the right thing at the right time and put God first in their life. Where are my women at? Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. You can stay standing. I want everyone to stand right now because here's the thing. I want everyone to stand to your feet right now, and here's why. Because pain is often a prerequisite to purpose. We forget that. Pain is often a prerequisite to God speaking to you. And God spoke to Simeon and said, I'm going to keep you alive until you literally are holding the promise of God in your hands. Anna, don't go anywhere. You stay in my house. I have a word for you. You're going to be an anointed witness. You're going to tell and you're going to testify that you have held Jesus one day. And she got to do that. It's just two faithful people. And by the way, I want to say this again. We need some people who say, I'm going to be faithful. You can't show faithfulness at 20. You show faithfulness by the time you're 60 from 20. You see, the truth is this, is that we need some people who are not just celebrating youth. I think it's great when young people honor God, but we need people who honor God from their youth all the way up and say, I'm going to be faithful day in, day out, decade after decade. You can count on me, Pastor. You can count on me. How do you stay faithful in dark moments? I want to open up this auditorium. I want to open up this altar at all of our campuses right now. I know people are standing right now at Rodfield, at Stone Oak. People are standing in Portland. I know people are standing to be faithful at Padre Island, at Rockport Fulton. God wants us to be faithful in San Antonio, right? In Corpus Christi, all across the land. Some of you are standing in your living room right now in another state. Some people are standing in the living room. You know, some of you are standing in your barracks right now in the military. We got military that follow us all over the world. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Let's give it up for them. We're thankful for faithfulness. We love you guys. We love you. We do. Here's God's promise to you today. He said this, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Land of the living means before I die, I will see the goodness of the Lord. I don't know what you're waiting on, but you need to get your expectations up. Get your faith up because God says you will see if you will remain. I will remain. Why? Because I'm confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. Let's stay faithful to God. Let's sing to God today and make that promise. God, I will remain. I will stay faithful to you. Let's sing together.
I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord.
Sing to him, church.
I will remain.
Today, this is a moment for you. Maybe you say, Pastor, I haven't been that faithful man or faithful woman. I want to be that person. You can come forward to the altar if you want. Just commit that to the Lord. Say, I'm going to be that person. I want to be that faithful person, that person who's stationed in the house of God that can be counted on. You come forward if you want. That's fine. You do that. You say, I want to be that person. I want to be stationed. I want to be stable and strong and counted upon. Praise God. Thank you. There are people coming forward at all of our campuses. You say, I want to be that person. I'm making a decision now. Maybe as a couple. You say, we're going to be that family. We're going to be that couple. We're going to be those people you can count on faithfully. We're not going anywhere. When that offering bucket's passed, we're not going to let it pass us without making a difference. We're not going to miss the opportunity to serve. We're going to be in the house of God serving, making a difference for this generation and the next. We're going to take our place. We're stationed. We're on assignment. This isn't the church I go to. This is my church. This isn't the house I show up to. This is my house, God's house. I want to honor God in this house. Be counted on. Be faithful. That's going to be me, Pastor. You're going to be seeing a lot more of me. I'm not going anywhere. Praise God. Praise God. Because you know when you do that, when you're a lot more seen, you're going to see a lot more Jesus. You're going to see a lot more Jesus in your life. He's going to show up. He's going to come through for you. That's the way God works. He will come through for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, we pray. Have you given your life to Christ? That's why Jesus came. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because the Savior came. What do you mean, Savior? He saves us from our sins. Jesus died on the cross. He grew up to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus died and rose again. Now he waits for you to receive him. You can pray a simple prayer. You can receive Christ right now, whatever campus you're at, those watching online. Pray this prayer with us. You can just say, Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin. And I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Your head bowed and your eyes closed. We believe Christ has come in your heart. If that's you today, no one's looking around, would you hold your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ? Thank you. There are hands going up all across our churches. Hold those hands high. We see your hands. Thank you, Stone Oak. Thank you, Rockfield. Hold those hands high. Praise God. Hold your hand high. You just accepted Christ in your heart. Thank you, Rockport, Fulton. Praise God. Thank you, Portland. Thank you, Proud Drive. And hold those hands high. God's moving right now to all of our campuses, right here broadcast. Hold those hands high. We praise God for you. Praise God. Praise God. Maybe you come forward today, your prayer today, you're coming forward to say, God, you can count on me. Things are going to be different. Maybe for you, you say, Pastor, things have been broken in my life. You know what? Again, what's the prerequisite for purpose? Pain. So God's saying, I got your attention. God doesn't cause evil. He doesn't cause harm. But he will utilize those things to get our attention. And so when those things happen, we can say, God, this refocuses me on you. I'm going to put you first. I should have been doing it anyways, God. Now I know. I'm reminded that my life is about you. It's about your house. It's about your vision, about your purpose. And so, God, you can count on me. You can count on me. Make that your commitment today. Father, thank you for what you're doing in your house. Thank you, God, for this word. Thank you, God, that we will remain confident in knowing that you will come through and we will see your goodness in our lives. We thank you for the privilege, God, to study two older people, Lord, Simeon and Anna, that give us the example that we aspire to be them, faithful in your house, so that we can see the goodness of the Lord. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. Thank you.